Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them, Cowboys, indeed?
Hello, and welcome back to another edition of the How About Them Cowboys. We got a win, folks! Big win. Sunday night, Cowboys win 19-3 over the hated, very hated, New York Giants. We're going to talk all about the game. Obviously, there is so much to get to, and I'm going to have some notes about the I got from the All-22 and from the coaches' tape. I'll throw those in there for sure. So that's going to be the majority of the podcast. Let's kind of just set the context and kind of give my opening thoughts. You know, the sheer amount of storylines and intrigue heading into this game would be enough to sustain most podcasters through a barren winter. But, you know, look, if you don't know what the context or the storylines here, Zeke freshly off his NFL suspension, Jalen unleashed upon the world, Odell Beckham Jr. on the sideline, Giants 2-0 versus Dallas last year, opening night, Sunday night football, Dallas versus New York, NFC East. I mean, it's all there. It was hyped all the way that it was worth, and we got in and survived. So I'm going to start off with some defensive notes, and then we'll do some offensive notes, and then we'll be done, and we'll be enjoying what we heard, hopefully. So let's go.
Wide 80! Kill!
Okay, defensive notes. I don't feel like it would be right to start this thing off with anything other than Jalen Smith. This dude basically doesn't know how to do anything other than exceed our expectations. And if you're listening to this podcast, it's kind of pointless to rehash the journey he has been on in his recovery and injury, because it feels like we have been along on the ride with him this whole time. When he made that tackle on the reverse to Shepard, where he was able to undercut Flowers and make it to the outside in order to limit Shepard to only 6 yards. Like, I was almost in tears. I was so proud. I couldn't be a bigger fan of Jalen Smith, and I'm just super excited for everything he was able to do. One more note before we move on from him. I do think that it's important. He had a whole bunch of tackles and a whole bunch of assists. The fumble, the forced fumble. If you go back and watch that play, that was not just a luck or a big hit. Like, he attacks the ball carrier. He sees the ball carrier being held up. He gets his elbow pointed, and then he leans in with his whole body weight behind his elbow into the ball, which is what squirted it out. It was a very intentional play, a move in order to get the ball. It was very heads-up play, like a guy who knew how to force fumbles. He's just going to be a huge boost to this defense as he learns what he's doing moving on, and I could not be more excited about having this dude in the middle of our defense. But you know, having gotten that out of the way, the story really is up front, because right away you could tell a huge difference. I mean, the Cowboys, we all knew that this offensive line that we were playing wasn't exactly our offensive line, but you know, that was the same story last year as well, and the Cowboys haven't exactly been able to get after the quarterback before, but they really, really were able from the beginning and throughout this game to harass Eli, make him uncomfortable. We talked about, you know, one of the big keys before the game was to make sure that Eli just doesn't stand back there and pick you apart, because he can. And, you know, you automatically, right up front, notice a difference. You see D-Law getting a sack in his first first drive, and Collins and Paya were moving people around. Vincent Mayoa was getting there. You know, you see Charles Tapper get in there for two. They finally have a long drive down the field. Charles Tapper is able to get in there and get a sack. We'll talk about all those a little bit more, but I think that right away you notice that there seemed to be something different with the defensive line, and in a good way, and that's just super exciting to hear if you're a Cowboys fan, without a doubt. One thing I noticed just from my eyes, it appears like they're running a lot more zone defenses. specifically more deep coverages than they were last year. They did run a lot of cover three and it mixed in with cover one, but it feels like when they're in their zones, the team speed and the reaction is just way up. You watch the group move in reaction to the quarterback, and it just seems like they're reacting a lot more fluidly and quickly than when you would see the same group last year with the with some of the other corners that they had before. And I think that it's reflected in the amount of they played. I mean, they played more of that zone defense, and they looked comfortable doing it. So obviously, that's probably, you know, those two things are related. Because they feel like this group is a little bit more comfortable playing those defenses, they're going to call them a little bit more. So it's just going to allow Marinelli more options to mix the coverages up and potentially, you know, confuse offenses by disguising what they're doing and then just mixing it up from drive to drive. You know, the real world difference between this game and last year, I think, like, if you're trying to kind of quantify without stats the difference between the pass rush this year and last year, is that Eli, there was no point where Eli had all day, where there was like that, you know, where you hear Brad Sham go all day, you know, he's just standing back there. I mean, he was constantly looking over his shoulder, even on the deep throws, he was getting a guy in his face. It wasn't just randomly here and there. They were getting pressure. They were getting pressure, then getting sacks. It wasn't just like, oh wow, they got a sack. Where did that come from? They were getting close a lot, and then also finishing every once in a while, which is fantastic. You know, and the results, you know, spoke for themselves. Beyond the fact that the Cowboys were playing a great game of keep away, the defense was able to hold the Giants to no first downs and the first quarter, and by the end of the first quarter, no wide receiver had touched the ball so far. And considering how much they rely on their passing game, that's pretty amazing. Where New York did kind of find some success is in that, you know, one long drive, is they were using misdirection, and they were trying to use Dallas's team speed against them. One of the first big plays that the Giants were able to make was they sent Shepard on kind of a fake reverse. And then he released out into the flat and basically was unaccounted for in the Cowboys' zone defense at the time because he had come out of the backfield where they didn't expect, so that flat defender didn't pick him up right away. They swung it out to Shepard. He was able to get some quick, easy yards. But, you know, that was the kind of play that was working. They were trying to use Cowboys' defensive speed against them and look for that to be a theme. Frankly, guys, that's what is going to get the Cowboys a lot of this misdirection stuff. So the defensive tackle rotation was interesting since they basically did what we kind of expected when they played Paya and Collins basically as much as they could, and then with Tyron Crawford kicking inside at three tech randomly. We did see Brian Price get in a couple snaps, the one tech. But also what we saw was Crawford get in at the three and then Collins kick inside at the one a little bit as well. So it was kind of interesting how they were using them. The defensive ends rotated much more heavily, though. We saw Tapper, obviously, as we'll discuss more. We saw Crawford coming in. They started out with Lawrence and Mayoa as the outside guys. So, and then Taco obviously worked his way in as well. So there was a heavy rotation there between these guys. And it looks like, obviously there was good results because all the guys seemed fresh and were running to the ball at full speed. I mentioned it a lot. It just seems like the zones are tighter than they have been the previous years. Part of that is the linebackers as well. They seem more aware when they're in their drops. The defensive backs are just, they seem more comfortable. It felt like at times that Brandon Carr specifically, just when he was in zone, he didn't feel comfortable with guys moving in and out of his zone. When he was in zone, he wanted to essentially be a man. He's wanted one guy to stay in his zone and then that be the guy that he has to be accounted for. So, and I think that that's why they ended up using a lot of match covering over, because, I mean, it was basically like, you know, whether it was cover three or cover one, as long as he was covering that one guy who was going up the field, he felt comfortable. But I feel like these guys are just a little bit more comfortable seeing guys coming in and out of their zones, knowing where they're supposed to be and knowing, I need to take account for this guy. I need to account my depth for this guy. And I think that's really, you know, what has bared itself out. Like that's why they've started to play that zone more at a high percentage than they did. It's not that they're playing fully just zone. It's just they've kind of flipped the ratio, it feels like, from man to zone to zone to man. So along those lines, I now kind of have a better appreciation for what they liked in Nolan Carroll. He didn't have some spectacular game or anything, but when you watch him, he seems extremely comfortable when he's in his own drops, much more than Carr or Claiborne. And I think that may have been difficult for all of us to see in camp, where they spend a lot of time doing one-on-ones, and that may not necessarily be a strength, and beyond the fact that it's also just kind of unfairly tilted to the offense in general. Moving to specifically defensive linemen, the specific defensive linemen, DeMarcus Lawrence is going to be a problem for teams, y'all. Like, him and Collins on the same side, like, it really is going to be an issue for people when they're getting the stunts down well. It's just a lot of talent there. I think the guy that no one was really expecting is, again, Stephen Paya. Like, his lateral quickness is just ridiculous. There was one play where he got all the way around a center off the snap and then was able to get basically behind him and then run the opposite way. So he went left around a center and then the play went to his right and was able to get around the center and go all the way back right. I mean, he, for a guy who's a one tech, he moves incredibly well. I can totally understand why they didn't want to get him off the field, because he was fantastic and he made plays and affected the play when he was on there, whether it was in the run game or the pass game. He was pushing pockets. He was penetrating. Man, what a pickup Stephen Paya was. Charles Tapper came in the third game, into the game at the third quarter. New York had, this is the one drive that New York had marched down the field, and they were first and goal from the 5 yard line. And so they start on first and goal on the 5 yard line. They put Tapper in, and on the first play, he's able to get inside of the offensive tackle with a rip move and stop the running back for a 1 yard gain. Then on the next play, second and four. On the next play, second and four on the 4 yard line, second and goal on the 4 yard line. He made maybe one of the biggest plays of the game outside of Antonio Brown's interception. Eli drops to back to pass. Tapper is able to take two quick steps upfield, then flash back inside while swiping the OT's hands, and gets inside of him and slips inside to get Manning for a huge sack of 9 yards. And those two plays that he made when he came into the game probably account for the difference between them scoring a touchdown and a field goal, which is what they ended up settling for. So huge, huge, huge night for Charles Tapper, even on limited snaps. I couldn't be more proud for the guy. No one is really talking about it, but Awuzie was able to step in as a starter with no issues once Skandrick went down early in the game, and basically started the whole game and looked comfortable in position most of the game. They had him outside as an outside corner. They used him as the kind of nickel linebacker. Dime linebacker when they went into their dime, and he was playing inside. He's playing outside, and he looked efficient. He didn't look out of place or lost at all. It was really, really impressive to see him just get popped in there and just not miss a beat. I've discussed this on a couple different platforms, but honestly, after watching the game tape, it really just didn't feel like the Giants had a winning game plan going into this game. They seemed lost at times. It really felt like once they found out that Odell Beckham wasn't playing, they really didn't know what to do. They were just so willing to just try to dump it off underneath to their tight ends and running backs, which frankly just played right into what Dallas wanted, making them try to go the length of the field, which they couldn't do. They couldn't convert. They couldn't get big plays because every time they tried to throw it down the field, Eli was being harassed or there was no one to throw it to because people were covered. So I don't know. It didn't feel like they had a cohesive plan of attack against this defense without Odell Beckham. It just felt like they were kind of going through the motions and really not doing much. But Dallas took full advantage, and you can't. What else can you say about these guys allowing 3 points in an NFL game, no matter who it's playing, but especially against the Giants, and especially that they're a division rival. Many kudos to the defense. Applause all around, guys. All right, let's talk about the offense now. You know, obviously that's the headliner, right? That's what we all came to see here. Frankly, it was, and the defense really played lights out. And I mean, the offense played great. I mean, especially considering what they were going against. But it's kind of crazy to see the defense steal the show like this. But lots of offensive notes to go over because there were a lot of offensive plays. Looking back, it seemed clear that the game plan for the Cowboys was to try and wear them out early in the game with just a whole bunch of plays. They just tried to run a whole bunch of plays in the first half, stuff as many offensive snaps as you can in the first half. But interestingly enough, they did it with kind of a more spread formation. I mean, they're running 11, they're running shotgun 11. And so it was, you know, they were kind of trying to exploit the Giants' defense by spreading them out a little bit, but also being efficient and not necessarily trying to go deep all the time. They were aggressive. They were taking their shots, absolutely. But I think, you know, they were also careful to protect the ball and be efficient and make sure that they were converting. And what that ended up doing is, you know, they ended up running close to 50 offensive plays in the first half and wearing out a Giants defensive line that really doesn't rotate a lot. And they took advantage, the Cowboys took advantage of that. And then in the second half, they rolled out the big hog mollies, the 22, the 21, the 13, the 12 packages with the tight ends, the fullbacks, and then they started running on them a little bit more and try to kill the game. So, and it obviously clearly worked out. I mean, they didn't score as many points as you would like, but at the same time, you know, they scored more than enough points to win. And I think that considering who they were playing against, it was a solid effort. I talked about it on one of the other venues that I think that one of the key plays that we've been talking about a lot on this show was the RPO, and I think that it ended up helping them a whole bunch of different times in key situations, whether it be a third down or red zone situations. Obviously, that Dez drop, or I keep saying Dez drop, but the throw to Dez that was high that Dak made the second down play of those three passes in the near the goal line. You know, that was a play that you wish you could have back because Dak clearly makes that throw 9 times out of 10. So I think overall it was an effective tool to mitigate Landon Collins and some of these elite guys that they have on their defense. And when it didn't work, it didn't fail because of schematic issues. It failed because of execution issues. So look for that to be a part of the offense, a heavy part of the offense, but specifically it seems to work really well against the Giants. And, you know, not that this is going to be a surprise, but, I mean, just to confirm it for everyone, the offensive line was the best unit on the field Sunday night, and it wasn't even really close. Tyron Smith, from what I saw, had his best game against Vernon so far. I mean, he did have a holding call and a false start that both really hurt, but overall, the play on the rest of his snaps more than made up for it. And interestingly enough, the two offensive linemen that showed their struggles the most were Frederick and Martin. But considering what they were up against, no one blames them. They did have struggles at times with Snacks, who you know was playing extremely well, was just a terror at times. Like we all knew he was going to be. But eventually, you know, the lack of breath is what got to him. I think they gassed him by the halftime. He was so tired. I mean, I think, you know, they were rotating the interior guys more than the outside guys. But even then, I'm pretty sure that I read somewhere that by halftime, Snacks had almost played 40 snaps, and that's a lot of snaps for half for a defensive tackle like at 350. Lael Collins deserves all the credit in the world for how quickly and cleanly he made a transition from left guard to right tackle in the offseason. I talked about it. I had my concerns, and I think I had right concerns. But I think that you know, there was a real and valid concern with who he was facing early in the season that he could not make the move and be ready in time to face guys like Jason Pierre-Paul or Von Miller next week. So it was a battle to be certain, but Collins certainly more than held up his own, no pun intended, held his own against one of the very best left ends in football. And, you know, outside of that holding call and maybe two or three other snaps where JPP got the best of him, Lael Collins was a picture of stability at the right tackle position. And frankly, I would think it could only get better from here. The big surprise to me at the offensive line was how good Chaz Green was. I think most of us were expecting a situation where you just hoped he wouldn't be too much of the weak link. But I'm here to tell you that Chaz was out there thriving. He looked great in pass protection with a couple of not-so-notable exceptions. And in the run game, he was a weapon on the move, whether it was pulling on a power run or getting to the second level on a zone play. He was moving athletically. He's, you know, getting to his guy and making contact. You know, the next step for him is finishing those guys, because there was one play that if he had just finished his guy, it would have been a touchdown. And instead, it was just a 17-yard gain. But I could not be more excited about where this offensive line is and where it's going. It really does make me exceed these guys play as the way they did. That game tape was just fantastic to watch. Dak definitely looked off early in the game. Just kind of missing throws that he would normally make rather easily. And it really just felt like he needed to calm down a little bit. You know, once Dallas got into a two-minute situation near the end of the half, it really seemed to kind of help him settle into his throwing a little bit. And the ball seemed to come out a little bit more naturally and ended up closer to where Dak wanted it. And by the nature of the throws he was missing on and the fact that it was kind of an in-game correction, I'm going to chalk it up to getting acclimated to NFL regular season speed. And if you look around the league Sunday, you saw a lot of that going on. So I'm not so worried about Dak. I think he'll be fine. I think, you know, he kind of figured out what was going on with him early and worked it out in his throwing motion. I expect him to be just fine next week. Zeke was fantastic. I mean, considering how this defense he faced was basically built to stop him in the offensive line, they dominated that defensive line. And in instances where the offensive line couldn't get it all cleaned up in the run game, Zeke was able to make it work. His power and vision and quickness just seems to be exactly where it was where he left off last season. And even though it was a battle all game, because, I mean, Zeke had 100 yards, but he didn't have any carry over 10 yards, Zeke consistently made positive gains, punished defenders for tackling him, and eventually wore them out. His most impressive reception was a beautifully designed play by Linehan, where they went into an empty set with Zeke split out wide. He then motioned back into the backfield to Dak's right, which drew a linebacker who was covering him. And Beasley and Witten were lined up in the slot to Dak's left. And at the snap, they ran a follow concept, both of them crossing across the field, basically clearing out the middle of the field of any other defenders. And Zeke slipped out into the flat on the left across Dak's body, wide open. They just dropped it right to Zeke, and he had an easy catch and run for a big gain. It's stuff like that, you know, makes this team really dangerous when they can get Zeke the ball in space on the move. Like, that's just terrifying. Last little bit, Terrence Williams had a fantastic game. He apparently came into the game with a little bit of an ankle injury, and on the very first play of the game, he turned it underneath him. But he came back in, and he not only thrived in the pass game, making several huge catches, including two big slants and that screen that was a big first down for them. But in the run game as well, with a hurt ankle, he made several key blocks, and specifically a crack toss where he came down on JPP, which freed Zeke for an 8-yard gain, all while on a kind of tweaked ankle. Bravo, 83. That's a great performance by you, sir. And then finally, it's a little bit surprising that Beasley got less targets than Witten, Dez, and Williams, but maybe it's less surprising when you look at how the game unfolded. Either way, he made his targets count, picking up some big first downs, and maybe the most incredible catch I've ever seen in a game. Snatching that ball off the nameplate while being aware how close you are to the sideline to be able to toe touch, not only inbounds, guys, but to get forward enough to get the first down. That was high level receiving right there, and to do it while, you know, helping secure a win, that makes it better than Odell Beckham's catch in my book, and should be in everyone else's book. So, guys, fantastic stuff. It was a great game to watch. I mean, obviously I could have it on a loop all day in my room because it's just fantastic to watch the Giants lose. Make sure you guys are following us throughout the week. Follow FanRack Sports for all kinds of updates on Cowboys and otherwise, all the NFL, college. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, @McCoolBTB. And until later on this week when we do a little Broncos preview, happy trails, everybody.